as a woman, there's everything around like sex and becoming a mom or not choose to not become a mom. There's just fear throughout your entire life. So there's fear before you're having sex of having sex because you might get pregnant or you might get an STD. And so there's like fear, 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 fear. And then for women that choose to want to have kids, there's now this fear of not being able to get pregnant and mm-hmm. a lot of infertility issues. Yeah. And so it's just like, there's constant fear.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Constant fear.
One thing that I will say, going back a little bit to just sexual exploration when you are in a community where mm-hmm. that's kind of stifled. One of the things I was realizing, because when I was sort of thinking about these topics after I knew I was going to be a guest on your show, I was like, thinking about my sexual exploration. And I didn't lose my virginity until college. But that's not to say that I didn't have any kind of exploration up until that point.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came to mind is I have always had very historically weird dreams. I typically dream every night, everybody dreams, but like you don't always remember your dream. I usually remember most of my dreams.
Oh, interesting.
And I have very vivid dreams, and historically they are usually very overtly sexual.
Interesting.
And from a very young age. So I think that what I was realizing is that I think that subconsciously I used my dreams to explore my sexuality because I didn't feel as confident doing it consciously.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, this is like literally this like epiphany I had like
because I don't think ago. I've ever met anyone at least that's shared that. Like, I mean, I think we've all probably had some type of sexual dream,
yeah,
you know, if we're over the age of like 15. But to have like regularly like sexual dreams that you can remember.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, very vivid dreams. And like I remember back to middle school, like sixth grade. I couldn't remember sexual dreams that I had before I ever even watched porn, or like, you know, the most like influence I had were maybe movies that were a little bit, you know, extra mm-hmm. PG-13 or whatever.
Some risque scenes.
So it had to be a lot, you know, I guess of imagination. But yeah, I have had like the weird, and I will say sexual exploration and really emphasis on exploration, because I've had the weirdest dreams that like, where afterwards I'm like, well, I'm glad it was a dream. Like, I allowed my mind to go there, I guess, but not something that I would necessarily do
wanna
in practice.
Do. Yeah.
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 But it is interesting, and it does tell you something about yourself. And I have known for a very young age that I am a very sexually curious person. And so I think that because I didn't feel necessarily safe exploring that curiosity in my day to day in that community, I was like, well, this is where I'm going to explore it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's really cool. That's very unique. I recently had a friend telling me about, we were talking about like our first experiences, and she was telling me about how her first partner who she lost her virginity to, she ended up dating him for a few years or whatever, but they had a very fun, healthy, exploratory relationship. And like the way she described it, you know, it just always felt very safe to her. And she felt like she was able to figure herself out a lot through that. And I just think that is so wonderful. If I don't know, like how you could, as a parent, like kind of encourage that in a non-awkward way. But I just, I look back and I think just so many years of my 20s, like not having partners that we communicated. And it's not like I can put all the blame on them. I didn't know how to communicate either.
Yeah.
But just like figuring out a way to like encourage talking about it. And I think that also does stem from like parents too. Like if your parents, you know, whoever's the comfortable one, like mom to daughter, dad to son, whatever, kind of talking about it, even if it's a little awkward, I think that just kind of helps set the precedent that like it's good to talk about it, even if it's awkward. Because it even took me a long time to get to a point where I was comfortable communicating with my partners what I liked and didn't like. Because there was this thing in my mind, which this could be a whole other podcast topic of, like, I needed to kind of always be easily pleased and, like, you know, make it comfortable. And it took a lot of courage for me to finally get to a point where I could communicate, like, you know, this isn't doing it for me. Like, instead of like just faking it all the time and all that, like that took a long time to come around to. Yeah. So
what about, cause after hearing about sort of your, negative relationship with masturbation in your partnerships, what about, pornography in your partnerships?
Similar to masturbation. That was like a big, big, big no-no. Cause also how I was raised, I mean, that was, you know, you can imagine, you know, if you're told you shouldn't have sex until you're married, you're probably also like being told porn is really, really bad and like is the devil. Mm-hmm. So porn was also very much a big no-no. And I, the first porn experience that I had was watching girl on girl porn. Mm. And for whatever reason that, I don't know if it was, I wonder if like subconsciously that's what I first started exploring because it felt like less of a sin to be like, at least, oh, it's just girls. Like maybe that was like less.
Just girls having girl time.
Yeah. Yeah. Just naked, you know, messing around, yep. Foreplay. But the first experience I had was, and I think actually this is when I started realizing I actually started having like dreams and fantasies about exploring women. And so then I think I started segueing into like discreetly not telling my partner that I was exploring like girl on girl porn, because mm-hmm. that was something that was kind of in my mind and I just wanted to see like what does that look like, even though it's yeah. porn, it's not like real, but yeah. So that was kind of I think when that started for me. But I mean, up until that point I was very much like porn was a no-no and was bad.
Yeah.
But then when I started watching it, I was like, okay, well, I can't be mad at my partner for watching it, you know?
That's a fair point. Yeah, I will say I never was at the point where I was, like, jealous of a partner watching pornography. But I guess I didn't have, like, a necessarily long history with pornography. I remember it started out where being in middle school and, like, watching it with your friends. Like, you, like mm-hmm. it's kind of like this funny thing, like, ooh, like, found out about that porn, you know, exists, and I have this link, and we all watch this video together, and it's, like, you know, this sort of, like, friendship bonding experience.
Yeah.
And so I would say, like, I think I was in college when I actually started watching porn for myself, and I'm a very visual person, so porn is great for me. Like, you know, I have this vivid imagination in my dreams,
yeah.
and then, like, you know, the visual with porn, that's great. If you're, like, an auditory learner, there's yeah. like, there's also like, you know, like you can listen to porn yeah. for women.
Yeah.
kind of a funny anecdote about my porn exploration is that, at this small school that I went to, and anyone listening to this will know who this person is. And I think that she would be comfortable because like this was what she did and it's fine. But there was this student that went to my school that had, I think maybe she had a gap year in between like high school and college where she did porn.
Mm-hmm.
And I somehow found out about that and found her name and on Pornhub and whatever. And I really liked her porn, and it was mostly girl on girl porn. And yep. so I would like, I watched all of her videos. And then it turns out that like while I'm having this sort of porn exploration watching her videos, then I have a class with her that semester. And so I see her like every, you know, morning or whatever that we have this class after having just watched her porn. Oh, and I remember just being like, oh goodness, I like you.
It was a little distracting
to me. But it like obviously like she was a different person in real life than she was when she
yeah.
was like,
she's
you know,
acting like her she, character, yeah, you know. It's a job.
But I remember it's like such a small school. Everybody kind of knows, you know, everything that's yeah. going on. Everybody knows everybody. And I wasn't, you know, good friends with her or anything, but like we had mutual friends and I, you know,
knew each other's names.
I think we were in like, you know, a club together or something. And yeah, so we were on like that kind of basis. But I remember just being like, oh man, like, does she know? Like,
does she know that I've seen her?
But you know what? If you know who you are, hey, you know, 5 stars. Yeah. Great job.
Yeah. I think that's great. Hopefully she made a lot of money off of it.
I hope she did. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember like how many years ago was it that like OnlyFans started?
I don't know.
I remember during COVID, I went down this deep research rabbit hole of like researching like how much people actually made on OnlyFans. And I didn't get to the point of like actually making an account, but I was definitely like very intrigued, especially because, I mean, as most people know, even if you're not on OnlyFans, you know enough about it probably to know that like you don't even necessarily have to, there's all different levels of what you can reveal and what people go on to OnlyFans for. So like finding out about people that were like making all this money off of feet pictures and things that were not even like, I'm like, I'll take pictures of my feet. And make money off
I
it.
Literally had this conversation with my mom. I was like, tell her, I was like, hey, you know what? I could use the extra butt. I would put my feet out there. But then, yeah, anyway.
I'll pay off my student loans with it. Like, that's great.
Yeah, it's great. Then we got this whole conversation because I have a scar on my left foot from having surgery on it. And then, like, we're like, well, you know, some people
identifying feature.
Like, yep, that's like a special niche that you could fill. But that again, a lot of my exploration is in my mind. So that's as far as I went with it.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. I mean, I did not do it, but I mean, never say never.
Never say never.
I think, so we were talking about the educational experience we had as teenagers with like the anatomy component and then like STDs. And then I think as a woman, one of my girlfriends and I were actually talking about this recently, because there's just, as a woman, there's everything around like sex and becoming a mom or not, choose to not become a mom. There's just fear throughout your entire life. So there's fear before you're having sex of having sex because you might get pregnant or you might get an STD. And so there's like fear, 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 fear. And then for women that choose to want to have kids, there's now this fear of not being able to get pregnant and a lot of infertility issues. Yeah. And so it's just like, there's constant fear.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Constant fear.
That's accurate for sure. I can relate to the fear so hard. And that's, I would say that more so than any concern that if I had sex, I was going to hell. My main concern was if I have sex, whether I use a condom or not, let's say I use a condom, I use all the protection, I will be that person that that gets pregnant. That was like, I'm like, that's going to be my luck. That'll be me. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, you know, that was probably my one and only reason for the most part for not having sex until college, because I will say that, and honestly, I would say I don't think I was ready, but, and maybe that was partially because of the fear of pregnancy, and then it could have just been other things. So I'm fine with, you know, the time that it took me to get there, but I was in a, you know, quote unquote, as serious as a high school relationship can be. Mm-hmm. I had my high school boyfriend, we dated for almost 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was very comfortable with them. And, you know, as intimate as we did get, we were, you know, I think fairly comfortable with each other. And so would have been, I think, a perfectly safe person to have lost my virginity to, but I did not. I think it all comes back to that just like innate fear of
getting pregnant.
And I passed that. I shouldn't say I passed it on, but that fear transferred onto my friends. Not that I necessarily vocalized it to them, but when my friends started to be sexually active, I remember being really worried for them too, you know? And again, we didn't so openly talk about what was happening. So I didn't necessarily know if they were on birth control or whether they were using, you know, condoms. I didn't know if they're having protected sex. And so that just, you know, feeds the fear even more. And so, yeah, if you don't have the education in place to sort of, you know, combat some of those fears, then it's really easy to just like go down that.
Yeah. And it's crazy how much like just lack of education or lack of knowledge or experience just immediately can translate into fear. Because I think about that with, like I was saying earlier, my fear and negative thoughts on masturbation was because I didn't really know anything about it. No one ever talked to me about it. And so it was just this bad thing. Also with porn, like never until I actually started looking at porn myself, it was this really bad, horrible thing in my mind. I also feel the same way about, or I felt, I should say past tense, the way, same way about strip clubs. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We were at the house, but, I remember I didn't, until I went to a strip club for the first time a few years ago, actually, it was like probably 3 or 4 years ago. I had partners that would go to them on bachelor parties or whatever, guys' nights. And I was very, there's a lot of like jealousy that would get riled up in me because in my mind it was this, you know, I didn't know to what extent there was contact with the dancers, right, and didn't know the kind of behaviors of the people at the strip clubs. And obviously I wasn't there with my partner, so I didn't really know how he was behaving, what was normal, what was not normal. And so until I finally like took myself and went with a friend that I like, you know, felt very comfortable with, I went with her and her partner actually, because they would go sometimes just like to get drinks and like hang out, and like that was that. And they invited me to come with them, and it was like a very comfortable situation for me to like just see it for myself. And I remember just feeling so relieved that I finally put myself in that situation, because I just remember feeling like, oh, like this is not as insane as I thought it was in my mind. Like, I was mesmerized by the acrobats and by like the acrobatics, excuse me, and the talent of the dancers, yeah, the skill. And the skill, like that was more like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But it wasn't as intimidating now that I had just experienced it, you know? Yeah. And I think as long as you're comfortable with yourself, like it just took that fear factor out of it now. So like ever since then, I don't have, you know, if I'm with a partner and it's kind of like, oh, they're going, as long as they're communicating to me and it's not something that's being hidden where it's like a secretive thing, like an addiction or something, where it's like, okay, we're sneaking out to the strip club and not telling the girls.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal to me anymore. Yeah. So it's just really hilarious to me that like just the lack of like exposure can create so much fear in your mind.
Yeah. And also if whatever you do know is only from movies that you've watched, mm-hmm, where they have the most insane, you know, bachelor party experience, yep, somebody dies, like there's just like, you know, something. And so if that's like your frame of reference,
yep,
then you know, yeah, what are you gonna think?
And also like wrapping my brain around the fact that like at, you know, at clubs, there's all different types of women, there's all different types of bodies, there's all different, like, it's not, I think in my mind too, going back to like the Hollywood versions of it, it's like, oh, every single dancer is this like blonde bombshell with like the perfect body, and like everyone's beautiful in their own way. And like going to see a club myself, I was like, oh, there's like all types of bodies, all types of energies. Like it's not like this whole built up Hollywood thing where everyone looks like a fake Barbie doll. That's an unachievable figure, yeah, you know? So that was helpful too.
Oh, that's great.
So
the first strip club that I ever went to was on my 21st birthday. And so I went to school in Illinois, where you could feasibly take a train to Chicago, you know, in a weekend, yeah, and have a weekend in Chicago. So my, one of my girlfriends grew up in Chicago, and she was like, I know this place, like we're going to go here for your 21st birthday for the weekend or whatever.
A strip club?
Yeah.
A strip club.
And so, you know, we took the train to Chicago. Maybe we drove, I honestly can't remember, but we went to Chicago. We stayed at her, you know, her mom's house. And then, you know, we had this plan. We were going to go to Hunkomania
Hunkomania,
letter O.
So it was male dancers?
Like, it was male dancers. Okay. Yeah. So it was like very, and I think that like Magic Mike was out by this time. So that was like, it was very Magic Mike-esque, yeah, in that they had like, you know, kind of a show that they put on. But I remember like getting all dressed up. And then my friend, you know, we went to an ATM. She pulled out like $200 in cash. I was like, okay, here we go.
Big rollers.
Like, happy birthday, Ryan. And I remember I borrowed her mom's shoes because I have, you know, a size 10 feet. And I just didn't have a lot of like high heels at my disposal at that age.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that wasn't something I was investing in. And so they were like trying to get me all, you know,
dolled
geared
up,
ready, yeah, to go. And so we go out there, and, you know, yeah, we got all, you know, all the singles. And I remember she like had paid for me to have, you know, a private lap dance, and then, you know, got to go on stage and all the works and everything. And then by the end of the night, my feet hurt so bad from wearing her mom's shoes that I had like hidden them kind of like under the table by the bar, because I was like, I can't wear these anymore. And then by the end of the night, they were stolen. So I didn't have any shoes, and we were going to go to this club afterwards. And, so I had to, I think we had got a taxi to this other club. I didn't have any shoes on. And so we're in line for the club, and they're like the big bouncer guy. And then he's like, I can't let you in without any shoes.
You're literally barefoot.
I'm literally barefoot. And I can't remember if we went to this club because one of the strippers told us about it, or if it was just coincidence, but one of the strippers pulls up And my friend, being who she was, just very like outgoing person, just runs up to him and she's like, you got to help us out. Like, you know, and so he was the bartender at that club and he gave me his combat boots off of his feet to wear into the club.
Oh,
so he bartended barefoot all night.
And oh my gosh.
And I was dancing in his
It was your birthday.
Boots.
Oh my gosh, what a sweetie.
Yeah. And then I gave them back to him at the end of the night. And
oh
then
my gosh.
Took our cab ride home and my bare feet. I felt really bad for her mom that I lost her shoes that she generously let me borrow. But yeah, so that was a fun introduction into what a strip club can be.
That is a fun 21st birthday. What a sweetie pie. I assume your friend was like, it's my friend's birthday. Like,
oh yeah. She went all out for me. Yeah. She's like one of those people that she's like, she's always taking care of the people Aww. That she loves. And yeah, there you go.
Oh my gosh. I love that. My 21st birthday, there was no strip clubs. It was just, what did we do? I was living in Phoenix at the time, or I was in Tucson for school, and I drove up to Scottsdale where my boyfriend at the time lived, and we went out to like dinner and then I think went to like a bar or two, but it was decently mellow. I definitely got drunk, but it was nothing over the top crazy. So that sounds fun.
Well, I remember afterwards, like, you know, cause my parents knew I was going and like I didn't like share a ton of details with them.
Yeah.
I remember them making a joke cause like they were going to be, I think we must've gone out, you know, on a Saturday, I guess. I can't remember, but, they were going to be going to church on Sunday and they were joking like, well, you know, we'll repent for your sins.
Oh my gosh.
In a very like joking way, like they like, you know, we're all for it in that sense. The vibe, I remember thinking that was funny, you know, parent humor. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Pray for me, guys.
Oh yeah. As I go to the strip clubs. Well, I think we could wrap up. We covered a lot. For those of you that are coming back to listen and you've been listening to my other episodes, I appreciate you tuning in. For anyone that is new, this is Third Times Me. And on this podcast, we talk about like all things relationship, whether it's relationship with yourself, relationship with romantic partners, relationship with friends, family, all the good things. Thank you, Ray, so much. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you. We'll be right back.